following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hey guys, welcome to the Pulse Gamecast, episode 23. I'm Gradle.
And I'm Beefcake. I mean, Jason.
Today's record date is April 29th. As usual, it's 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Now, as we always do, Jay's going to lead us off with telling us what he's been doing this week in gaming. And I'm curious, because looking in the show notes, there's one of the things you've been doing that I think I know what it is, but I'm not 100% sure. So why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Yep. Everybody who knows me knows that I love MechWarrior Online. They recently had the show that I missed last week's episode 22. Not necessarily missed, could not speak. I don't know, you know, how what people think that it was just a cold. Yeah, exactly. It was just a cold. There was nothing in my throat. I swear to God. But that being said, I did play a lot of games, and I played a lot of MechWarrior Online that week because there was a sale going on of, I think that we had talked about it prior, the MechWarrior Online sale where they had 50% off a whole bunch of their Prime mechs.
Yeah.
And they also that week had the, if you played five games in a row, you won a non-released Phoenix Project mech, which was the Thunderbolt T9S, I believe. And so I wanted to play a lot of that, which I did. I played a buttload of that. Got my T9S, you got a mech bay to go with it. And I got my kill-death ratio up, and then it went back down again. So now sitting at a whopping 0.25. No giggling. And believe it or not, the next thing that I did was I have a neighbor who was wanting to buy a computer, and I told him, you know, you don't want to buy this computer, you want to buy this computer. And he finally went out and bought it, and I asked him, I said, well, why did you want a, you know, a computer that... Because he's not really a computer guy, you know, this particular neighbor. He said, oh, I'm hooked on this game online. And I'm thinking, oh, he's about to tell me about, you know, Candy Crush Saga or, you know, something like that. He goes, it's called World of Tanks, man. I was like, oh, World of Tanks. So I got back online. I still had like two or three premium tanks that I'd purchased way back when it first came out. And I played a buttload of World of Tanks so that I could get up to tier 6 with him. And play, you know, some tank battles with him, and we got in a what do you call it out there? I call them lances because I play MechWarrior so often. But anyway, I teamed up with him, and we played. It was fun. And then I got my Guild Wars 2 updated, and I played some Guild Wars 2, which I wanted to, restart a character that I hadn't played in a while, and it was a lot of fun. I got back into the game. And I was also testing the graphics capabilities of my computer. I was trying to pump it up because it was overheating a lot. And I figured out that it was a setting. Since NVIDIA put out its new drivers, then what we needed to do was tune the NVIDIA drivers and take off a couple settings. And now the, because I game on a laptop. And it's a 2 gig video card, but it's, you know, it's 750, I believe. If I'm not mistaken, yeah, 750M. And if you don't watch the fan heat up, you know, you can really burn this card out. So that was what I ended up playing Guild Wars 2 for, to really stress out the video card, and it did. Just to let you people know, I promised that I'd be playing WildStar Beta, but for some reason, I got my key, I logged in, and it would not download from NCSoft. I tried on 6 separate occasions to download the WildStar Beta, and it would not start. I turned off my virus protector, I tried everything. Could not get that bad boy to load, so I'm going to try again this weekend. About you?
Well, as usual, you're doing MechWarrior, I'm doing Mass Effect. So, Mass Effect 3, those of you familiar with the game, I actually, before the show, was playing on the Citadel DLC. I've pretty much done everything in the base game. I'm about ready to head to the Elusive Man. If you're familiar with Mass Effect, you know what I'm talking about. And I wanted to start Citadel at that point because by that point in the game, you've pretty much reconnected with all of your old crew, and I wanted them around for the Citadel DLC. So I've been doing that. Did just a little bit of Elder Scrolls. you know, I was hitting it really hard and, of course, pulled back a little bit because I don't want to get burned out. About all I've really done in ESO this week is I've never really played a Nightblade. They're like rogues. So I did a Wood Elf Nightblade and the, I want to say, Ebonheart Pact. I can't remember, but just kind of got them going and working on dual wielding. So that's pretty fun. I did download the Cold Cold Heart DLC for Batman Arkham Origins. However, I have not started it yet. My thing with DLC is, and it's kind of like when a new book comes out in a series. With the DLC, I don't want to just open up my previous game of Arkham Origins and just go play the DLC, even though I'll have all the gadgets and armor upgrades and everything. I'm going to start, you know, a new playthrough and just let the DLC pop up when it normally does or whatever. So,
you're so just like,
yeah, exactly. Kind of a kind of a purist slash OC. Let that kick in. But that's mainly what I've been doing. I've got a couple questions for you, Jay. Actually, Jay has in his show notes what he's been doing this past week was WOT, and I thought that might have been World of Tanks. That's what I wasn't 100% sure on. Now, I played a little bit of World of Tanks, like, when it was still in beta. You know, what, a year, mm-hmm. 2 years ago or something like that?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Now there for a while, it got really bad about pay to win. Because you could buy all the, you know, the upgrades, the nice things. Yeah. And I know they did a big update months ago. Are you seeing that as an issue now? Or is the playing field...
I've been playing spottily, so I really can't say if on the balancing issue. I can tell you that my kill to death ratio is pretty much the same World of Tanks it is in MechWarrior. So I kind of rush out there with a big British circle, like off of one of the old Sopwith camels on me.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, "Oh, look, it's Jason."
Yeah.
But truthfully speaking, I haven't noticed a difference between the beta. I did play the beta as well. And the way it is now, when I say that, if there's a tank hunter who's a sniper, you know, like a tank hunter, basically anybody who hasn't played the game, there's different versions of tanks. There's light, medium, heavy, and then there's indirect artillery, and then there's specialized tanks. Like they have howitzers basically mounted on the front, and the gun doesn't move, the tank moves. So they're really hard to get in a position. But if you know how to play the game, and this is not even a really elite tank. This is one that you can get, you know, tier 2, tier 3. But if you know how to play it, it's a one-shotter. You know, I mean, you can one-shot kill another tank. Mm. And anyone who tells you differently is lying to you, because all you have to do, and you can pay a little bit of gold, but if you play enough, you'll earn enough gold to get armor-piercing rounds and HE rounds and stuff like that, which you can load into a free tank and just blow the crap out of someone if you know how to play it. So in the end, it's all about, you know, knowing the game, which me and you talk a lot about that. You know, if you know the game well and you prep, you can overcome the pay-to-play win.
Sure.
But truthfully speaking, no, there are still a lot of elite tanks out there. I did purchase some of the elite tanks about a year ago. They had like a double or triple event where if you went and bought one of the cards at like GameStop or Walmart or something like that, I can't remember where it was, but you got triple the coins. It was a lot like you know, like Sony does it, and like every once in a while SWTOR does it.
Yep.
If you turn it in, you get double the coins,
right?
So I did. And I purchased what they call an LTP, which is an elite tier 3 light tank. And truthfully speaking, the thing's fast, it's maneuverable, it's everything I want it to be. And I don't even see it on the tank tech anymore. Like, they have a tech tree, you start off in a basic tank, and then as your tech tree goes up, you earn different slots. You know, you work your way up through the tank series. I don't even see the LTP on the tank tree anymore, so I don't know if it's gone and you can't buy it anymore, or if it's under a different name now, or if my tank tree's just jacked up. But when I looked, I didn't see it. So I think you're right. They've changed the tank tree, but they didn't take it away from me. It's still in my garage. So
yeah, that, grandfathered, you know, in type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So that being said, I still had fun playing. I've only made it to the heavy tank recently. I've been, because you work your way up. You have light tanks, and in some nationalities, because like I said, a lot of people may not know this, it goes by nationalities, a lot like War Thunder or now World of Planes. You choose your nationality, and then that nationality has multiple tanks available to it, and you start off at a basic tank, and as you earn kills and experience points and you research parts, then you tier up to the next tank, and then you research more parts and you tier up to the next tank. So, and you have to train your crew, or you can just buy a whole new crew. And that's where you're talking about pay to win, because when you buy a whole new crew, you can train them up and they'll be like 100% and your gun will reload faster. And it's everybody knows what we're talking about. But that being said, I just play to enjoy the game. And so if I go out there and I'm 10 seconds into the game, somebody blows the crap out of me, the good part is that if you have multiple tanks in your, you know, in your garage, if while that battle's going on, you can immediately go back to your garage and start a new battle in a different tank. And by the time, you know, you want your old tank back, it's usually, you know, 5 to 12 minutes is a match. So now here's my question. I want to ask you something real quick. In TESO, you said you were playing a Nightblade. Is that a DPS class?
Yeah, they're a rogue.
And did you enjoy that more so than your tank class or your healing class?
Yeah. I mean, I have my kind of my main is a sorcerer, you know, a mage, and the way it works in ESO, depending on what weapons you equip, kind of determines your role. So my sorcerer can equip a damage, a destruction staff, and you know, blast out, depending on the staff, you know, fire, lightning, ice, where I can equip a restoration staff and be a healer. So for me, that's pretty fun. I like that. But the Nightblade, especially when they dual wield two swords, God, dude, it's just a freaking Genso. Mow through everything. I mean, now I also have a Dragon Knight, which is kind of their fighter. Sword and board, you know, is what they really excel at. But they also have, because of the dragon influence, some flame-based abilities. The survivability is there, of course, because of your sword and shield, heavy armor, which there again, even my sorcerer can wear heavy armor. It doesn't affect with the spell casting. That's just Elder Scrolls. But yeah, man, those two weapons, I just mow through everything. It's nice for a change, because the sorcerer, I usually level in all light armor just to because your armor skill levels up as well. And the higher the for instance, with light armor, that starts getting as you level it up, you get magicka bonuses, which is your mana, if you will. So, you know, regen, less to cast spells, that sort of thing. So I kind of level in light, and man, I'm so squishy.
Glass cannon.
Glass cannon doesn't even begin to describe it. It's just, I've never been this weak in an MMO. I mean, even playing other, you know, caster classes, it's just, man, I just...
I like the Enchanter and EQ.
Worse than that.
Wow, that's saying something right there.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing, is a lot of these mobs that you come across, there's usually, you know, one or two of them. And man, it's rough. It is rough.
Know your class.
Let's see, also in Guild Wars 2, when you were playing and trying that out, they have implemented now the mega servers.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
I did notice that I was not alone. Mm-hmm. I did get quite a lot of invites, which I always do because I haven't guilded up yet, oddly enough, for a game called Guild Wars. But that being said, there were people more willing to help. I think it is sponsoring more community, I guess. Mm-hmm. Is the word I'm looking for. But that also being said, I hate saying this because I don't want everybody to think I'm the jerk that, you know, I'm a lone player a lot of the times, and I make very few friends, and when I do, I trust those people and those people alone. So if they're in a guild, I'll join up with them. If not, most of the time I'll try to run stuff solo. So asking me about the population might be counterproductive because I'm that wallflower. So
well, no, and that's fine. The reason I'm asking is I was listening to the MMO Reporter podcast, and Chris, the guy who hosts that, he's played very recently since the mega server stuff went in, and he said pretty much the same thing you were saying. There seems to be a lot more people, especially in the beginning areas. Now, the last time I played Guild Wars, which was probably like 2 or 3 weeks before they did that big mega server thing. Mm-hmm. And your beginning areas were just deserted. I mean, there was no one around. And he said now, of course, there's a lot of people. And the way it works in Guild Wars, you know, you have to trigger events.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually by killing a ton of this mob spawns like the big queen or, you know, stuff like that.
But it's going to come as a community event, right?
Exactly. And you know, Guild Wars, everyone who hits the mob gets the loot, gets the XP. But when you're the only person in the zone, you know, those big events usually don't happen because you don't have, you know, 6 hours to stand there and kill that many mobs. But if there's a lot of people running around, it triggers it a lot faster. And he said that he noticed that was happening. You know, like in the human area, that's what makes me think of it the most. The big worm queen that pops up out of the farm.
Yep. Where I was, actually.
Yeah. They said she was spawning, and right above that is the windmill. There's bandits that come out
the bandits,
there.
Bandits, yeah.
If you trigger that event, which I haven't seen that event, either one of those, in months, because there's no one around. But
yeah, the worm queen spawns near the teapots that swirl around, and the bandits. No, the worm queen goes in the fields down
right
below.
In the field, right.
Right.
Where the
bandits spawn over by the teapots that swirl around.
Well, there's that, and but actually, right above where the queen is, there's there's something up there, and there's a big old bandit event that comes out of that. I mean,
that's like an elite event, isn't it? Well, I say an elite because the final guy. I mean, it takes like a bunch of people to knock him down.
Oh yeah. He's I think he's a champion. That's what they call those with the gold border. Tough.
Yep. And I'd worked all the way up to the centaur area. And that's where I stopped because the centaurs were spawning people that were just wiping me out, and a guy had to come over and help me not die, you know, because I got trapped behind the spawn point.
Yeah.
And they were spawning all of these warriors, and then a shaman or a shaman, whatever you want to call him, would spawn, and he was, I mean, jacking me up, and I'm a healer too. So I was just like,
Right. That's cool. If you're going to start playing more Guild Wars 2, let me know. I'd like to jump back in.
Yeah, sure.
As well. Alrighty. Let's start. Let's move on to news. Jay has the first thing on the list. We'll let him start it off.
Microsoft and Crytek. Yeah. So Xbox 360 people and PC might know about this new game, Warface. Warface is a first-person shooter working on the Crytek CryEngine, the CryEngine 3. And this would be the new CryEngine. Now, is anyone who's currently playing video games, and I believe Origin would be the people that we're talking about here, not that we've ever been down on them before, will know that already Crysis 3 is at one-third of its original selling price after only, what, 7 months, 6 months?
Yeah.
So we're looking at something that's basically $14.99. That was $59.99 less than 7 months ago. That being said, is it a beautiful engine? Absolutely. Is it capable of rendering and the architecture and the ability to add plugins that add multiple effects to the game? Yes. Is it good for multiplayer? Well, we're finding out that that's really not the case. Warface is based on the Crytek 3 engine. Microsoft is developing out of one of its own studios. Now, this is not some chump, you know, second-rate developer indie people. These are actual Microsoft and Crytek employees working on Warface. Now, it's already in its beta for the Xbox 360. It started April of the 11th. And as far as I can tell, Metacritic gave it a whopping 62, even as a beta. And I think it was, let's see, I think it was Game Rant went on about it. But just to say, for anyone who was looking at our show notes, my opening statement was Microsoft and Crytek falls flat on its Warface. Basically, the problem that we're having here, from what I'm hearing, and I actually have two guys I work with, I'm sure I've mentioned them before, and both of them have Xbox 360s. He 100% backed everything up I'm about to say, that they have forced people to play gameplay co-op. In other words, they've broken it down where you have a medic, a rifleman, a sniper, and an engineer. Lots of you may know this class because that's pretty much Battlefront. Okay. That being said, they've rehashed classes. Okay, but they're forcing you to do this because the characters are not just, you know, like Battlefront, you can choose a character and it's really your loadout that defines you. These characters are predefined. Your loadout tweaks it, but these are predefined characters. That being said, co-op is almost irrelevant because in multiplayer, which is what the game really revolves around, because let's just say that they have such a generic storyline that it's vanilla doesn't even begin to cover it. Basically, you have your healer class, you respawn in less than 3 seconds. So why have a healer class? Your sniper class is good for, you know, pot shots and stuff, but I've heard that the maps are so small that the sniper class becomes almost irrelevant. The engineer class and the rifleman tend to be the preferred classes from what I'm hearing. The rifleman can lay down mega fire and the engineer has some optionals. But that being said, it ends up being a run and gun situation up to the highest level point where they install a sniper and then hold for, you know, wave attacks. And that's just kind of pitiful coming from Microsoft, because in the end, the whole thing is topped off with the sprinkles of connection issues and server lag and crashes. So you've got an irrelevant storyline, forced gameplay, useless character or character interaction, followed off by connection issues and server issues. And let's toss in one last thing. In the middle of a beta, what do you have? Microtransactions. It's a beta.
Yeah.
Why would you have microtransactions in a beta? So people are paying for something that may or may not get wiped immediately.
Right, there you go.
That's wonderful. So that being said, go ahead and try it, you know, but I wouldn't. I don't know, man. How do you feel about someone forcing that? I'm glad you went with this first, because it was one of the things I was going to talk about. We were just saying that, you know, you have your glass cannon characters and you have your, you know, your Nightblade characters. In Tiso, it's what you equip, is what you were telling me, that really defines your character. I mean, don't get me wrong. Obviously, like you said, you equip two swords and he's a Gensu. The Dragonborn is a sword and board. He's basically your tank, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. So how would you feel if someone forced you into those roles rather than let you choose those roles? When I say choose those roles, equip those roles as you saw fit to your character.
Well, here's the thing. Here, let me answer your question with a totally non-answer that also kind of proves the point. This game honestly reminds me of almost every other shooter that I've played with a multiplayer component. For instance, PlanetSide.
Blacklight Retribution.
What was the other one? There was one. It was such a horrible. It was a shooter MMO, but it was the same thing.
Was it Cold Planet or whatever that Cold Planet was?
No, it wasn't Cold Planet, but you know what? I think it did have Planet in its name. Gosh, what was it?
Forbidden Planet? I can't remember.
No, I can't remember. But anyways, it was such a horrible... But it's the same thing. Medic, you're kind of rifleman soldier type. Engineer.
Not Planet Side, right?
No, not Planet Side, even though Planet Side is the same way. Engineers, medics, stuff like that. It's all the same thing is what it seems to be to me. Now, with that being said, I kind of get that. Well, here's my thing. With the exception of stuff like Call of Duty, I don't think, and there again, I'm not a heavy multiplayer shooter player. I don't think I've really seen a shooter that is just kind of a generic open class per se. You know, dependent on what weapons you equip. For the most part, there seem to be a defined role. Maybe I think you've probably played a lot more multiplayer shooters than I have, but that's been my experience, is you have to pick a role.
You do.
Okay. So essentially to me, what it seems like is, as you said, it's a very boring, very vanilla, not standing out game. Not outstanding, but not standing out game.
Yep.
Now to me, with the way that, you know, like you said, with Elder Scrolls and this and that and this and that, I think that would be awesome. If here you are, you're a soldier, you need to be a medic this time, go grab the healing pack. You need to be, you know, engineer, go grab your building tool. You know, you're tired of that, we'll drop it and pick up a rifle, and now you're a rifleman. I don't see why games aren't going more that route. To me, that just seems to be the way it's leaning, maybe, kind of starting to go that way. I don't know. I think that would be better. But I guess in answer to your question, my limited experience, I'm always, with shooters, I have to choose a role. So I don't know if that really bothers me. Is that kind of what you were asking? Or did I just totally tangent? No.
You got it. You hit the nail on the head. But what I'm seeing is so many games on the RPG side are letting you make a character and then just kind of flesh your character up how you want to go from that point on to right. where the shooters, you know, you'd expect the shooters to say, okay, pick up a gun and start shooting people. Now you've changed your role. Whatever gear is laying around is who you are right. just the freaking opposite. I mean, what you'd expect is an RPG. Okay, you've grown up your whole life to be a mage. Now you are a mage. You will learn how to cast spells. Armor? What the fuck is that? You know?
Right.
But
right.
no, that's not the way it is. You can wear armor and throw lightning bolts. I mean, you know, rainbows shoot out of your butt and you can make unicorns. No, that's not the way it is in shooters. Shooters, you're a man who has no special powers, but you can only heal people. What? So it just, you know, not that I have a suspension of disbelief issue. It's just like this is something I'm going to talk about later when we go into a different module, which is like right after your next intro, that there's some companies that I think are getting it. And I'm going to go into that in just a little bit, but I really, really am sad that so many of the companies have decided to fall into the box.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't think it's right. I just think that you should be able to make a shooter where that isn't the case.
Right.
So that's really, I guess, what I was.
I did have an ulterior motive.
So, but hey, like I said, there's something coming up where I do believe that that'll change. So you go ahead with your next one, sir.
Just real quick before we move on, microtransactions, are you buying weapons and armor or
and
like
yeah
that?
They're actually doing that and repairs. They have a repair system in game, believe it or not. So I don't want to entice anyone to actually play, so I was trying to gloss over it. Not that I'm the kind of person that would shoot an Xbox in the foot, but if they gave me one, I swear to God I'd box it back up, take it right back up to the GameStop and see if they let me trade it on a PS4.
Nice. All right, moving on. Today would have been Call of Heroes. City of Heroes/City of Villains would have been the 10th anniversary today. Of course, we know that NCSoft, for some reason that none of us know, canceled the game. Yeah, you know, it's not that the game was doing okay. According to NCSoft's reportings, earnings, it was profitable. It was actually making profit. And, you know, they canceled it. You know, I've played Jay, and, you know, Jay was an even bigger COX player than I was.
Can I get an amen?
I don't understand. And you know, well, the rumor is, and I'm sure it's true, that they dumped City of Heroes because they felt Champions Online was the way to go. I don't understand that.
Ugh.
Which is, you know, I actually jumped in that about 3 weeks ago, and it's just crap game. I just don't like it. Don't like it.
Its only pull was that cel-shaded art crap.
And I don't like that.
I know.
I don't like it. You know what it is for me? It's too bright.
Yep.
It almost has a glare. It's so bright. No matter how much I adjust my graphic settings, it's just it's a pain in my ass. But yeah. So today would have been City of Heroes' 10th anniversary. So with that being said, Missing Worlds Media, who I've talked about before, they are doing the City of Titans, which was a Kickstarter. One of apparently many games claiming to be the spiritual successor to City of Heroes. They released a little video today, another video of just showing some of the Unreal 4 footage that they're working on for various zones and whatnot. The video also has like some concept art, things like that. You can find it on the cityoftitans.com webpage, or you can find it on their YouTube channel. Also, while looking this up, I thought this was kind of neat. Maybe there again, gamer fail, or you know, game video game news host fail. There's apparently another superhero MMO in the works, claiming also to be the spiritual successor that I'd never heard of, and the game is called Heroes and Villains.
Is that based off of Zaki Heroes and Villains?
I don't think so, because there again, these are guys who played City of Heroes and loved it, so they're making another City of Heroes-esque game. But I don't know for sure, to be honest with you. Their web page is there's nothing on it. It's very basic. But there again, Heroes and Villains also they didn't put up a video, but they put up some screenshots of zones and stuff like that. And honestly, it looks. What it kind of reminds me of, and I don't know what engine they're using, but the Heroes and Villain looks almost like if you combined City of Heroes with EverQuest. That's what the graphics remind me of. But there again, check them out. Like I said, just a little nod and a tribute to a great, in my opinion, the best superhero MMO to date. Even though I'm a Batman fan, DC UO, you can suck it.
Yeah, I know what it is that I don't like about it. It's the smell. It smells like crap.
I don't know. But by the same token, whenever... we'll talk about it in a few minutes. City of Heroes would have been their 10th anniversary today. Check out some various things. Maybe you can find some tribute videos and whatnot online. Let's move on to the next little bit. Jay, you've got some info on Destiny.
Destiny. Okay. For those of you who don't know what Destiny is, okay, you really, really need to open your web browsers and go to the interwebs, okay? it's the next thing from Bungie, okay? When a studio like Bungie, who's developed, you know, pretty much, what do you want to call it, a dynasty off of Halo... They're pretty much the Macintosh of the indie developer sites, and then they became corporate, and then they became super corporate. So they're following the Mac trajectory, where, you know, everybody was like, oh, Mac's cool, and then like Steve Jobs said, no, I'm gonna make it pretty, and then everybody went, holy crap, this is awesome. And then he said, now we're gonna make it, you know, because Woz was involved, and he said, we're gonna make it where it doesn't crash. And then Steve got out, and yeah. Then it nosedived into the Andes, where all the survivors ate themselves, you know, until Microsoft stepped in and saved the company. So, that being said, Destiny is going to be the next release. Now, when we say that there's been planning behind this, we're not kidding, okay? They've planned tons and tons and tons and tons before they ever picked up a keyboard and started coding. This has been in development for years. And when I mean development for years, there's rumors going around, and this hasn't been completely proven, but they have talked about it, that they've already developed the code where random events like weather and, you know, spawns of, you know, random spawns and things like that have already been randomly pre-programmed for the next 10 years if the game lasts that long. Wow. So we're talking about a world where they've said, okay, we plan on it lasting for 10 years. We're going to pre-program random events that are reactive to the environment. We don't control them. The gamers don't control them. They just happen. So that's pretty freaking awesome.
Yep.
Now, that being said, Destiny is going to be a first-person shooter, okay? It is going to be RPG. It is going to be different. They're harnessing the power of social media. So, like, if you have your phone on you and your buddies go into a raid, they can actually hit you up in-game on your phone. Apparently, there's going to be some type of controls a la the Microsoft Glass. Surface where you can control from multiple, you know, entities in-game characters, and that when I say control them, not necessarily play, but swap out things, maybe research. They haven't gone that deep into it that I've been able to find yet. That being said, the Redeem pre-order beta is already up, as in redeem this code. So they're passing out pre-order beta codes at this point. And that's impressive, because the game's not supposed to start until next year, isn't it? But they're supposed to start the beta this summer. So if you pre-ordered the game, is it at the end of this year? Because it was beginning of last year. They might have moved it back.
Honestly, I'm not even 100% sure.
I'm going to have to check. But the point being is I didn't expect the pre-orders to go this fast. They've already got... you're getting a swoop-looking bike, you know, from SWTOR, for those of you who don't know what I meant when I said swoop.
Right.
It looks really like an Ada-style Jedi fighter that you ride. It's pretty cool looking. So they've already got those where you redeem it, and your character will have it in-game, day one. That also being said, in this game, they're saying that you can customize your character as you see fit. There's going to, they call it the seven pillars that they've already addressed. Balance. Game balance is never going to be perfect. They said we are going to start from day one and it's going to change on day one, on day two from day one. They quoted things like Dota 2 and Living Legends, League of Legends.
League of Legends.
Yeah, to where, you know, when the game started out, it was one thing, and now it's something completely different, yet it still has this huge following to the point where it's gotten to be super gaming. People are making livings off of it.
Wow.
They've also said that they're taking into account trade-offs. Trade-offs being, I'm going to, like, say you got a jetpack. I'm going to jump up in the air. You can no longer fight while you're jumping in the air. But I'm going to choose this type of character. Well, this type of character also has an exact opposite on this type of character. So even though they're talking about balance, they're also talking about trade-offs. If I have a sniper weapon and I go to zoom in, am I going to have any situational awareness close by? No. So everything that you do requires a trade-off so that the class definition is defined not only by your choices, by the pre-existing strategy that you make, but also the gear that you pick up. And that was where I was going earlier, really.
Gotcha.
And commitment. Once you start down a character class, you are on that character class. You will have to, you know, you go down the healer class and decide halfway through that the metagame has picked up because balance issues have changed. And somebody posts, this is my build. This build is really, really easy to, once you make this build, it's really easy to dominate your opponents. Once you start down a path and you've gone away from that build, it will be so hard to go and re-spec your character so that it becomes that build. So commitment is what they're saying. And then they're also saying that pre-planning is hyper important. So Twitch will not be an issue. Hmm. So even though it's going to be a first-person shooter and it's going to be, you know, primarily console-based, you're looking at a game where they're saying, you know, having the right gear first is important. So, and finally, they don't want you exploring what they call the unhopeful world. They want to have a hopeful world. So you're not going to be in this, you know, post-apocalyptic desert land where you're digging up chests and there's buried bones and every character is nut job crazy, you know?
Right.
This is going to be a living world, a building world. And they're serious about that. They want this game to last 10 years. So when Bungie says this is going to last 10 years, we've already built these paramount portions into the architecture of the game, then everything else is going to kind of, you know, mold around that framework. I see this game as really being the next generational jump in first-person shooters.
It's not a game I plan on picking up, but so I haven't read much on it, but it looks beautiful. The graphics look incredible on that thing.
It is uber next gen.
And you know what? You talked about you get the swoop kind of mount.
Yeah.
When I first saw the commercial and you saw the guy riding it, I was like, are they putting out a new SWTOR expansion? I mean, honestly, with the graphics and everything, it looks like SWTOR. It reminds me of it a lot.
It's wicked cool.
But yeah. Total random off the wall weird dumb question. You know, you remember that commercial that was on TV where the two guys are singing that song, It's a Perfect Day, It's Been a Perfect Day, where they were gaming together?
Yeah.
Was that Destiny? Because there's one part of the commercial where they're obviously on different teams.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of a futuristic shooter looking thing. Is that, do you know if that was Destiny?
I don't know, now that you mention it. That's going to bother me tonight until I figure that out.
Totally dumb, random question.
I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. But they were, when that came out, if I'm not mistaken, there were just random screenshots. Because I think I remember seeing the big blue pillar, which is kind of the symbol for Destiny. It's that three, the three picture with a, looks like an on-off button slash through the dead center.
Yeah.
That looks like a power button, but it's, you know right. what I'm saying? But I remember seeing, it was a, wasn't when they were playing, wasn't there kind of an orange desert and there was a big blue pillar up in the air, which was kind of very Halo-esque?
I don't know. I want to say they were coming down out of buildings, but it was kind of post-apocalyptic looking, and that the buildings were all damaged and blown up. They were obviously on different factions because their armor was different. I don't know. I don't know. It just random thought that just popped in my head. Let's ask an off-the-wall question. So, and Destiny is what? Console only? Or is it?
As far as I know, it's going to release for Xbox One, PS4, 360, and PS3 all at one shot. I don't know if it's going to release for the PC at the same time, but I expect a staggered output for the PC. If they do release it, it'll release last.
Right. As usual.
That's just, that's me saying that. I don't know that for a fact, but
it's a fair guess. That's how they do it. Usually that's how they do it.
Yeah. And you know, Bungie's smart. Bungie knows that, it's also easier to produce in-game content for PC than it is to add it on for,
right.
Well, it has been in the past. I say that. Yeah. That's changing lately with all the add-ons for like Ghost, and what's the other one? Crap, I can't think off the top of my head. Not Battlefield. Assassin's Creed. So, like, Ghost has, the second add-on is coming out here shortly, where there's aliens. And we're not talking about just multiplayer maps. We're talking about whole new weapons, whole new concepts, and an extended storyline. The first one, where they were bringing in, spoilers, turn off your radio real fast, aliens. Into the plot of the game,
yeah.
They've extended it now to a second chapter, and they have, you know, recurrent characters and everything. And from what I'm hearing, it's worth it to buy the season pass at this point.
And I think it's the Ghost and with Ghost, the new expansion or whatever they call it, isn't that the one with Snoop?
Yes.
Enjoy that, Call of Duty players. Your military level Snoop Dogg.
But and just to look it up, yes, it's PS4, PS3, Xbox One, and Xbox 360 are the only admitted platforms at the moment.
Huh. Well, I mean, to an extent, you know, Bungie, they didn't bring the new Halo to a PC, I don't think. It was just a console, so.
That's true, and it's September 9th, to let you know.
September 9th, there you go.
September 9th, they moved it back. It was first quarter 2015, they moved it back to September 9th, 2014.
Oh. Okay, well, I guess things are going better in the development.
AAA title. I would get it out as fast as possible, too, in this economy.
All right, let's move on. Next little bit, midnight this morning, technically, I guess, Sony Online took down everything. Everything except for the actual SOE.com site, because they are implementing the All Access, which we have talked about numerous times. I don't need to hammer it anymore. 4 hours ago, they had sent out a tweet that servers were coming back up, and then, of course, there were issues. And another tweet also 4 hours ago said tech support was working on the issues. I haven't seen whether the games are back up.
Anonymous is not hacking us. Anonymous is not hacking us.
Now, they said it was only supposed to take 12 hours to do this implementation across the board, and obviously that was not the case. If 4 hours ago, let's say, I don't even know, what, 3 o'clock? Let's just get
3:30.
Around 3:30, if stuff was still not up and fully functioning, on the website and on their Twitter, they haven't said it's up, so I guess it's still down. But, so anyways, going back to where I was bad-mouthing DC, online. Once this All Access goes live, of course, DCUO becomes one of those games that if you do the All Access, you gain membership level access to. I don't know if I'll play it, but I might check it out because it's included. I actually, have you ever played it? Did you play DCUO?
Yeah, actually I have it still on my PS4.
Yeah.
Or PS3, excuse me.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there again, in the genre of superhero games, man, I wanted that because I'm such a huge Batman fan and a DC fan. I wanted that game to be so awesome, and it just so was not. With that being said, I, of course, once it went free-to-play, I did buy one of the expansions, which was a Powers Pack. And I, you know,
Flash one?
No, well, I bought the Lightning. I bought the Lightning. But I hate running. Running is the worst travel power in the game. It
Jumping
sucks.
Is so much better.
Jumping's okay. Honestly, I'm partial to flight, and I always have been. Flight typically seems to be the slower mode of travel, no matter what the superhero MMO is. But for me, it's also the most convenient, because you just activate it, and then you just go. You know, jumping, I'm assuming you have to, like, enable the power, then click where you want to land, and...
No, it's just, well, in City of Heroes, it was jump, and as soon as you touched, you hit jump again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, in City of Heroes, man, I went empathy, so I took teleportation.
No, I was just fixing to ask you that. That was the most jacked up transfer power. Oh, my God.
It was.
Fall and kill yourself.
Yeah, you could. You could fall and nearly die if you didn't click that. Because it was the same thing. You would click to activate the power, then you'd get your mouse cursor would turn into a bullseye, and you'd have to point that somewhere to teleport to.
You only had like 0.5 seconds to re-teleport before gravity took over.
Yeah, exactly. And you could teleport through air, so when you moved off of a building or the ground, your bullseye would turn vertical, so you could pop across the air, but exactly it. What I ended up doing is I found someone who came up with a macro, so I could one button it and just bloop, 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 bloop. Oh, but yeah, it was such a pain, but it was fast. It was fast. I mean, I could get across a map in no time once I got that macro running.
And then also because it was a teleportation, you could teleport your friends because that was the previous power.
That was the prerequisite, right? Teleport other. So yeah, I'd be the guy, I'm going to go grab a refill. Can you just teleport me when you get there?
Yep.
Buddy. I'll run the zone for you.
I'm sorry. Did I teleport you onto that lava?
That's right.
Whoops.
My bad. The implementation, I'm assuming, safe bet to say it'll be up and running tomorrow. We'll see how it goes, but $15 a month, membership level access to every Sony online game that's still around and is coming out.
You're cutting into my cigar fund.
Right. All right, next bit of news. Jay put this in the notes. last week, I talked about the Russian guy who, in World of Warcraft, became the first ever to get every achievement and feat of strength in the game. If you remember, I of course can't pronounce or read the Cyrillic alphabet, so his name was something like I don't even know. It was like P backwards N.
It's Hyuriko. Jeruko. I actually do know how to speak Russian. That was my minor.
There you go. Okay, there you go. So Jay put this in the show notes. It's come out of how this guy was able to do what he did. Do you want to take this, Jay?
I don't know. I was going to let you have it, but it's just so much fun.
All right. So obviously the guy is Russian, which doesn't have any bearing on the story per se. But here's how he did it. Here's how he got multiple server first for getting level 90 characters. Here's how he got all those achievements, blah, 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 blah. What he did was him and his guild transferred to a low population PvP server. If you're not familiar with MMOs, PvP is player versus player. Out in the open world, if you're this faction and you see someone else of another faction, you can kill the player. It's just that's the way it works. You know what you're getting into when you roll a character on that server.
Это не блоха.
So what this guy would do is he would level. He would level. His guild would run through the zone he was in, killing every other player in the zone so that they could not level. Now, when they'd respawn, they'd be waiting on him. They would track him down. They'd kill him again. Meanwhile, this guy is just leveling, just chugging along and leveling. That is how this guy did it. It was literally a guild against a server. That's what he did.
Yeah, and then his friends, after they'd kill you, they'd harvest any nodes that were close by and then dump all of their harvest into the guild bank so that he could get the crafting stuff too.
Right. So, definitely not in the spirit of the game, even for PvP. That takes ganking to a whole new level. But that's how the guy did it. I'm assuming with raids and whatnot, they just would run him through the grade. And I mean, ultimately, all you have to do is usually just, well, he got every achievement, so he would have to do all the special things, you know, kill this boss within a certain time or don't take any damage, blah, 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 blah. It is still an impressive achievement, but, you know, such a douche way of doing it. A douchey way.
Did you talk last week about what their response to it was?
No.
Okay, Blizzard will be removing Realm First achievements from the upcoming expansion, Warlords of Draenor, in order to disincentivize this sort of abuse.
Nice.
So their response is, okay, we're glad you did it, now we're taking it out of the game.
Right.
Screw you, I'm going home.
I know, it's exactly what it was. On a totally a random bit of news as well dealing with WoW, Blizzard has said the new expansion Warlords of Draenor will be a no-fly zone. You will not be able to fly. It's just not
going to
be in the game.
Oh, nice.
It sucks, but I kind of get why they're doing it. You know, they said the game is not a... what did they call it? It's not a flyby game. It's not an aerial game. And I get that, because people now, you know, you just buy your flying. It's ready to go by the time you get to a new expansion. And what do? You hop on your flying mount. You fly to where the quest is. You land. You do it. You fly back up. You miss the game. You don't get to experience the world. And that's why they're doing it. It sucks. You're going to have to run. Well, you'll be on your mount, your ground mount.
Well, yeah, that and the Russians.
Right. Comrade. I heard someone on a podcast talk about Blizzard should implement the Russian mobster achievement for players like that guy. So yeah, Mr. Russian guy, he did it, but if you don't have a Realm First level 90 achievement type thing, sorry, you're not going to get it because it's out. All right, that's going to wrap us up for the news bit. Let's move on to geeky stuff, where we talk about tabletop gaming in various forms. I actually have nothing that I put in the show notes, but Jay does. So, Jay, it's all you.
Well, let's see. I put a couple things in there. Let's talk about Rack and Ruin, I guess. Rack and Ruin is a Spiral Bridge Studios came out with a program that you download. You custom build your skirmish party using pre-made miniatures from any other game. So if you got Warhammer 40k minis, or you got Dungeons and Dragons minis, or whatever you got, custom build your skirmish party. Basically, you build I think it's a four part, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. First you do party creation, four characters, and then once you choose to add the characters, they're based on your hero class, you know, basically your role-playing attribute classes. And once the game begins, you roll for each of the eight scenarios that you're going to be playing, and then you design a unique strategy for your team, depending on how you put them together, okay? And then you level your heroes through a campaign play, and finally, your characters pick up legacy perks from campaign to campaign. So what you're talking about here is they've developed basically a little sub-program that allows your character that allows you to use miniatures from another game, from any game really, and their program, and then make a skirmish style quickie battle system that's you know, usable from party to party, or when you guys get together. You know, I'm sure it's probably going to take an hour to maybe more to play one instance of this. And basically, once you have the legacy, it's the ultimate determining factor in winning a campaign, depending on how your characters are made. So, winning games and hoarding treasure, you know, a few action increases the party's legacy, is what you're talking about here. But basically, it's, I don't want to call it a quickie way to play the game, because you know me, you're one of the purists. I hate to say this, but you really are. You didn't like using the cards, and I don't blame you for that. You know your guys, but again, there's always this group of, I'm at the other end of the spectrum, because my parties have been scattered to the winds. We all, you know, half of them are back in Pascagoula or over in Mobile or across in Arizona or whatever. So I have to, you know, hook up with people who may or may not know me that well. And in order to do that, the best thing for me to do is find a way to play a quick game, get to know them. And then later on, if we want to, we can hook up and, you know, play longer games. That being said, this is a perfect little mixer party game or a gateway game into getting people into miniatures. So it's in beta. You go to spiralbridgestudios.com/rackandruin, and they also have a Facebook page, and log in for their beta. And I logged in today, and I've already been accepted in under an hour and a half. So wow. Please, you know, like I said, it may not be a Kickstarter per se, but it's good to support these kind of things because, you know, people's putting time and effort into this, and they're trying to bring the gaming community up to speed. And, you know, here you're not having to invest a whole lot. You should already have minis, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
So just seems pretty cool. It looks interesting. And since it's using already minis, then give it a shot. Free download.
Sweet. Even better.
Yep. Second thing, Dungeon Dwellers. I wanted to talk about this last week, but the frog in my throat, or whatever you want to call it, was in my throat, stopped me from doing it. So in turn, naturally, since it was a Kickstarter, I missed my boat there to tell everyone to go contribute. However, they made their money. So that being said, Dungeon Dwellers is a card game, again, a four-player game, where the party gets together, and, you know, four is the holy trinity, you know, or quadrinity, I don't know what you want to call it, of the gaming world. You got your rogue, your mage, your priest, and your warrior, and that's just the way it always works, you know. So that being said, you have 236 character cards, four adventurer cards, and then monster cards, energy cards, stuff like that. But basically, there's a playmat, and which represents a dungeon. And what they were looking for initially was, I think, $3,000. Yeah, $3,000. They made $8,140 with 145 backers. So they made their thing. What you can get now, and eventually you'll be able to get, I guess, is going to be the card game itself with a grip mat. They have T-shirts, believe it or not. Their stretch goal initially for $4,000 was boss monsters at the end, which are limited edition boss monsters like a Dracolich, which looks really cool. This card game looks very reminiscent to Hearthstone. For those of you who may or may not know what we're talking about, so, you know, that's just me throwing that out there. I haven't played the actual game, but all of the signs are there for mana, shield, attack power, that kind of stuff. So at $5,000, they replaced their cards with gems for health and magic mana. And then they also, at $6,000, unlocked the Dungeon Dwellers. What's the little dial cards, you know, that have numbers on them that magic used to use?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. You spin the open window and it shows.
Right, it shows numbers, right. But it just has a picture on the side and you kind of twirl it to show pictures. Oh. So that to show numbers, I'm sorry. So gotcha. That's in there to keep track of health. And then at $7,000, they unlocked some new cards, which were 8 copies of a limited edition card for energy decks and stuff like that, which you'll find out what that is later. And then they have some treasure cards that they unlocked too. And that's where it stopped. They did have a $15,000 that they were going to get, which was a barbarian powerful ally, but they never got that far. And it was a 45 card set that was going to be included in every copy of Dungeon Dwellers, but they didn't make it quite that far. But that being said, it's out there. It's still on the Kickstarter. So it's kickstarter.com projects Dungeon Dwellers by S2 Adventures. So I'm hoping this goes somewhere because it looks like a really fun card game to play. I'm old school and I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was looking over it. It looks pretty cool. You know, in all honesty, what it kind of reminds me of is the Pathfinder card game.
Haven't played it. Is it fun?
I haven't played it either, but it's the same premise.
Gotcha.
It you're dungeon, you know, a party member, and it's all card game based. But from what I was looking at on the various backer levels, it's a little bit cheaper than the Pathfinder card game. So if that's something that you're looking to get into, this looks like a little bit cheaper way to get into it, but not necessarily sacrificing quality of the game. Just not paying those paizo prices.
Yeah, ouch, man. But, I mean, still, I don't mind supporting something as long as it's rocking.
Right.
Do you mind me throwing something out here real fast?
Nope, go ahead.
Just to let you know, I couldn't live and not actually go dig around and find what you were talking about. The official PlayStation 4 Perfect Day commercial was Skyrim. Well, actually, it was Tissot. And yeah, then they're in the cars racing for, what's the game?
Forza.
The racing? Not Forza. That's PlayStation. I mean, that's Xbox. This is PlayStation only. It's the other one. Dadgummit, I can't think of it.
Gran Turismo.
Yeah, Gran Turismo 6. Thank you. And then finally, believe it or not, it looks like Killzone 4.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the one you were thinking of because they're wearing the red goggles of the bad guys.
Yeah, the red. Yep. Good job.
Sorry, couldn't take it.
No, I get it. I mean, it's one of those things that, it bothers the crap out of me too. It just digs and eats away. Alrighty, guys, I think that'll about wrap our... Oh, you know what? One last thing. What is today? Tuesday? Like, within the past few days, just on a totally different side note, Robert Space Industry, Star Citizen, hit another million. They're up to 43 million. And, like, last week or the week before, they had just hit their 42 million. Because that's when, if you've watched any of the gaming news, it's, what are we going to do at 42 million? That's when they put in that dirty towel.
Oh my goodness.
A towel. Like, you get out of the shower and you use a towel to dry off with.
Yep.
That's what they implemented. The towel gets dirtier the more damaged your ship is. So, I don't know what they're doing at 43, but they just hit $43 million for a essentially privately funded game.
There are movie producers that wish they could draw out money like that. And I mean high ranking. I'm talking about the guy, what's his name, that made Aliens, and the dude who did Titanic, wasn't it Ridley? Yeah. So these guys were only able to get like 20 and 30 million to produce some of the biggest blockbusters you've ever seen on the.
Right.
And this guy's squirming 43 like it ain't no thing.
And growing.
Oh my God, dude! He's like the godfather of gaming.
I know, it's crazy.
His ring and you say, Godfather.
Right. They did with the 43 million. I don't think it was a stretch goal, per se, but there is another little light fighter that they showed and they're going to put in the game now because of that.
Wow.
So $43 million and growing.
That is amazing.
I know. Well, thanks for tuning in and listening to probably our longest episode ever. But thanks for listening. You can get hold of us via various social media, which Blacklace will have on the way out. You can get in touch with me through Steam, the PlayStation Network, Raptor, and total brain fart. There was another one. I don't remember. But I'm in
Not
Elder
Twitter.
Scrolls Online. Yeah. Twitter, she'll have that. You can get hold of us through our show account. But anyways, you can get hold of me at Teletech 77062 or in the Elder Scrolls Online. You can find me as at Graydol, Graydol.
And you can get a hold of me on PlayStation Network, Raptor. Was that what we were thinking of? Mm-hmm. And PlayStation Network, Raptor, and Steam as Jason, Jaysynn. Or you can actually, never mind, you can get us on our show stuff. And don't forget to check out all of our sister podcasts on Holosuite Media and check us out every night live at Holosuite XS because it was a little lonely in here tonight. Huh? But
Jay
that
and
being
I just kind of typing to each other.
I know. That was a little sad tonight. But anyway, that being said, please come join us, especially if they're actually up and running with Sony Online. It's highly possible. I'm going to go ahead and squat that $14. So, $15, I guess.
Yeah, $14.
But that works for me.
Yeah, no doubt. It does for me, too. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and have a good one.
Y'all take care.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at the Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.